One of the most interesting distractions from Donald Trump's daily dose of criminal mismanagement has been the revival of discussion about the relative advantages of a socialism or capitalism. Indeed, in some circles, we are currently being bombarded with memes proclaiming the superiority of socialism over capitalism, informed that most Democrats, and especially the younger among them, prefer socialism. Some of this, no doubt, floated by those who would undermine the unity of America. Nevertheless, Russian bots aside, it is still a terribly important topic that has been a long time coming. Indeed, before Bernie Sanders' impressive bid for the Democratic presidential nomination, the last time Americans had seriously entertained a conversation about socialism in any context other than as a tool against one's political enemies was almost 100 years ago in the era of Eugene Debs. And a pleasure the conversation has been. I mean, we are talking here about a discussion about an issue of real substance gaining prominence in a society more interested in football scores and the Kardashians. And it's not surprising that Americans of late have been eager to revisit what many had for so long considered a settled issue, the apparent and obvious superiority of capitalism over socialism, which had, we were so proud to proclaim for generations, produced the largest, most comfortable middle class in world history. Nevertheless, that confidence has faded away of late, undermined by the loss of everything from pensions and relatively inexpensive college to affordable health care, housing, and a living wage. That has produced a profound insecurity that fed both the Sanders and Trump campaigns, all of which makes this conversation enormously useful, but only if it can be carried out with a measure of sophistication. Indeed, this conversation is too important to simplify, and the debate between socialism and capitalism largely meaningless in their abstract forms. After all, modern capitalism, as it emerged since the 18th century, was merely an idea that, as Adam Smith would have put it, that all boats will rise if each of us works to our own economic advantage. That is, that real economic growth is best produced by harvesting the private acquisition of wealth by the largest number of people, while socialism, when it was not simply an example of Marx projecting Darwin's evolutionary theories onto evolving societies, was in large measure simply a reaction to the obvious exploitative nature of unregulated capitalism. In short, simply comparing socialism and capitalism is not terribly helpful, given that neither is a real system of societal organization. Sure, communism, with its centralized system of economic and political power, certainly was. However horrifically it operated in practice, as is democratic capitalism, with its theoretically decentralized system of economic and political power, which has proved such an engine of growth, despite its tendency to encourage a concentration of wealth in too few hands for social health. While democratic socialism, so common in the world beyond America's borders, especially in those countries that manage to supply affordable college and health care for their people, dramatically rejected both the dictatorship of communism and the idea of unregulated capitalism. Now, those are systems worth discussing, not abstracts like socialism and capitalism. Indeed, only the most radical of capitalist thinkers argue that societies do not also need to supply all sorts of services, such as treating the chronically ill that won't make anyone a profit. While the world's social democracies all have significant elements of private capitalism deeply and appreciatively embedded in their systems. No, in the real world, these issues are not binary. And while this conversation is terribly important to the success of the American experiment, for the moment, none of the above is nearly as important as a sophisticated understanding, not of the nature of capitalism nor socialism, but the criminally minded authoritarian oriented path our current administration is bumbling toward. Now, if we do not get our priorities right, we won't have the open society we need to even have a conversation about how best we might find the most effective balance between capitalist and socialist elements of our society.